Bibles, Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13. As we continue through this great book, it shocks me that we're almost finished with this book. And it's been a delight. It's been more enjoyable than I thought, less controversial, but maybe it's not been for you. It's been good for me. Let's read Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Remember last week, we really focused on loving one another. I owe you, the only thing I owe you is to love you. That's it. That's my debt. It's the only debt that the scripture encourages and says that we have is to love one another. Let's look at Romans 13, verse 11. It says this, and that, let's just read verse 10 because you'll know, and that. Verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Then verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Title of the message tonight, what to do as the return of Christ nears. That's a horrible title. I don't think I ever said it out loud. I wrote it. You know what you need to do? You need to read these titles. I can't even read it correctly. I'm going to change that title when I put it online. What to do as the return of Christ nears. I almost can't say it the second time. It really looked good when I wrote it. But here's the thought of the title. It's what should we be doing knowing that Christ is returning? I want you to know that's not new. For 2,000 years now, we've been looking for Jesus to come again. When he left, he said, I'll come again. They were looking for him in mere days, weeks, months. And so people mock now. The Bible says they'll mock that. You know, we've been looking for the return of Jesus for a long time. You'll see here in Romans chapter 13, it says that when we know that love is the fulfilling of the law, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. We of all people, it's been 2,000 years. If it was near the return of Christ 2,000 years ago, it's way closer now, right? I tell everybody, I'm a day closer to seeing Jesus than I was yesterday. I don't know when that's going to be, but I want you to understand that the Bible uses this because it should be a motivating factor for us. I really think this is the way most Christians view it. You understand this. The return of Christ, what he instructs us to do tonight, is for your benefit, Adam. It's for your eternal benefit, Stephen. There will be rewards. There will be benefits that some of you will receive and some of you won't. I know this is how everybody views Christianity. They think it's like the average parent today. They say, Johnny. We don't have any Johnnies here, do we? They say, Johnny. Obey, or you're not going to get any ice cream. Well, Johnny's learned well enough that says, I'm going to get ice cream anyway, because you never mean what you say. You just yell a lot. Now, some parents, you don't have to be mean about it. But Johnny just says, you know what? I'm going to get the same thing as all the other kids because you don't want to deal with bad mood, Johnny. You think Johnny's a tough dude right now. Don't give me ice cream. What would you rather do? You'd rather give me ice cream because most parents, all they want, don't bother me, Johnny, then give me some ice cream. And most parents say, yes, Johnny, what else would you like? Most homes are child-run homes, not parent-run homes, but that's not what my message is about. But we sort of think that's what God's going to do. God says, I'm coming soon. You need to be ready. There's a judgment. There's going to be a judgment for believers, not judgment for our sin. Christ took that on the cross by faith. He gave us his righteousness and will never be judged for our sins again. The Bible does speak of the judgment seat of Christ. For those that are believers in this room, we will stand before the Lord and we will be judged according to those things that we've done. according to the gifts God's given us. Here's the beautiful thing. Whatever God's given you, that's all he'll hold you accountable for. He won't hold you accountable for somebody else's gift. No need to be envious. No need to be covetous. He will only hold you accountable for what he's given you. And I will tell you, when the Bible says the last shall be first and the first shall be last, the people that we think are going to be well rewarded, and usually those are the people in public visibility, right? I will tell you, I'm not going to be at the front of the line. The people that are going to be at the front of the line with the greatest blessings, you and I don't know. They've been faithful in the little things. They've loved the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and they weren't given as much talent. They may not have been given as much many gifts, but they've been faithful, and God will reward them. I want you to understand this. This is not the way heaven's going to be, but this is the way every Christian, as long as I get to heaven, that's all I care about. I don't think that's going to be your spirit eternally. We act like God's just saying, come on now, Jesus is coming again now. Put away the works of darkness. But you know, at the end of the day, it's all going to be equal opportunity employer, and everybody's going to be treated the same. You're going to get the same things. That's what every Christian thinks. I will tell you, God will never owe us. Understand, I'm not preaching salvation by works. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's the grace of God, unmerited favor. God does tell us this, eternal rewards. He will bless us for our service to him. I have no issues with that. I will rejoice in that. We will have a good spirit with that, but we will live eternally with our lack of faithfulness here, this side of heaven. That is not preached. That is not understood. And God tells us that all the time. So he's like, get with it. It's sort of like if there was a bonus for us doing so many widgets. Let's just say, you know, there's a $1,000 bonus for everybody that makes 1,000 widgets. And so everybody's all upset when people get the bonus. Well, you could have too, but you didn't do the work. But we'll have a good spirit about it, but I want you to understand that it's not that God's just given us this encouragement, this direction, this warning, this constant reminder, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Get ready. Wake up! That's what he says here. Wake up! It's real. The work of the Lord is important. The night cometh when no man can work. Now's the time. Get with it. Now we need to submit to the Lord. It's all through Christ. I'm not talking about serving him through our might. I'm talking about serving him through his might. But we got to get with it, right? So I want you to understand, as we talk about this, the Bible says what is necessary. And I'm telling you, if it doesn't matter, then most professing Christians are right. You know, most professing Christians, they go to church and they have not one soul to their name ever in their life. Average person sitting in Baptist churches, they want to argue with me that Steve Fruit is not souls. You know why they want to argue that? Because they have none. And then they're going to blame God for not having souls. God said, I'm just telling you, I want you to understand this. I don't want you to be miserable, but I want to tell you this. At least you start praying about it, right? God said, herein is my Father glorified, that you would bear much fruit. And he says that you abide in Christ, you abide in my words, and that you obey my commandments, and you will bear much fruit. And I want to tell you this. You know what the Bible says? Then your joy will be full. You know why most Christians aren't that happy? Because they don't have any fruit. So I do, you guys are a great test. Not you guys. I mean, I love you guys, but most, I tell you this. I've asked this question. I think I've mentioned this. I've asked this question. I've reviewed my pastorate since I started, and I said, how many that have come to Hope Baptist Church since Hope Baptist Church was established have one soul to their name? I can count them on one hand. One hand. All that is, that's failure of leadership. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm not saying we can concoct it. I'll just tell you this. I do know this. If I abide in Christ and I abide in his words and I obey his commandments, I will bear much fruit. I'm going to be a tree that there's going to be fruit, and I'm just going to be basking in it, and my joy will be full. More babies, more spiritual babies. That's what the Bible teaches. And you don't fulfill the work of the Lord, you're not going to have the fullness of his joy. Of course you won't. But that's a tough message to be preached in the United States of America, because in the United States of America, it's all about your happiness. It's all about, hey, how you doing? You know, a young man just, I think I mentioned this, a young man just recently told me, and I said, hey, you need to get the basics right. First, you need to find a good Baptist church to join. You need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. This guy's saved, no doubt about it. I've seen his life change. But he hadn't taken those basic steps. Don't expect to be a preacher if you're not even a member of one of the Lord's churches. Right? Don't expect to be used of God if you can't even obey him in the basics that say, follow the Lord in baptism. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. But see, we just need to follow the Lord in the basic steps. I want to tell you this. This message tonight, get with it, Christian. I need to get with it. I need to get with it. I need to say, what in the world am I doing? Because I'll tell you, I do struggle with this. This is just final introductory comments. I struggle, but the Lord mentions it so much and so much and so much that I'm finally getting it a little bit. I struggle with being motivated by rewards. I want to tell you, the only way I'll ever get a reward is the mercy of God. I never do anything to where you guys want to have me fall. I never do anything where it's always the goodness of God, it's the grace of God, it's the mercy of God, and I don't know how he rewards us. But that's just how good God is. He takes something small, and then he makes something amazing out of it, and he rewards us. I want you to understand this, oh Christian. It does matter what you do now. Not for your eternal life. Christ took care of all that. Salvation's by simple faith, turning from your sins and believing on Christ. Eternal rewards are a whole different thing. I think we are going to be shocked. And I'm telling you, when we're in eternity, it's like, wow, bummer. I kind of missed it. I was just happy that I had Jesus. Here's my concern. Those that have no fruit, those that are just satisfied being saved, I wonder if they're saved. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation today, but the Bible talks about people that do many wonderful works. They cast out demons in his name, and he says, I never knew you. You weren't mine. The Bible doesn't address Christians that come to church and don't do anything. Because I think you may not be a Christian. Examine yourself and just pour your heart out. I want you to, you should know if you're a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. I will tell you, I look at my life sometimes and my meanness and my spirit sometimes, and I think, who in the world am I? But I then go back. I constantly think about this. I know the Lord loves me, and I know I'm his. Then the words come back in my mind and act like it. I need to be in his word. So I want you to know, the Bible instructs us some things to do. Now let's look at verse 11, 12. We'll get through those. And he says, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. If you understand this, don't you think that America, let's just talk American Christianity, it's the only Christianity I know, is that the average Christian's kind of walking around like a zombie. They're asleep. They're not with it. The average Christian in America would say, yeah, I care that people go to hell, but what are you doing about it? Nothing. The average Christian in America doesn't do anything about it. I tell you, the average person that tells me they're a Christian, can you tell me what the gospel is? Here's the number one response I get when I ask people that. Why don't you tell me? And I love the privilege of telling them. If you've been saved, you should be able to tell the gospel. The only way I can be made right with God is Jesus Christ. And you ought to be able to tell me what he did. He came to this earth and he was born of a virgin. And I don't know if you have to know all this. You just need to know he is God and that he took your place. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And by faith in him is the only way you can be saved. But the average person that says, I'm a Christian. If I looked at them and I said, hey, would you show this young person here scriptures, how they would know the gospel first, that they would understand their sin and how they can be made right with God. Could you do that? The average Christian would have a heart attack. You know why? Because they're not living it. The average Christian just ought to be telling people about Jesus to where it's part of you. It's who you are. And he says, and so we're just asleep, aren't we? He says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's this, our salvation, our rescue. It's this. The rescue is not complete. until, bring you home. When I'm out of here, the rescue's complete. Well, really not until the resurrection, but it's as complete as can be for me. I'm happy. I'm out of here. But I want to tell you this. It is, I ought to be motivated by the return of Christ because of Jesus, not because I just want to get out of here. And God's changing my heart with that, but this world's a mess, but is our motivation just to get out of this mess, or is it to be with Jesus? Now look at verse 12. He says, the night is far spent. You think it was far spent 2,000 years ago, what about now? The night is far spent, the day is at hand, the day of the judgment of God, when we will stand before Him and answer for what we've done. Therefore, now here's what he says, first thing he says, cast off the works of darkness. I want you to understand, this ought to encourage you. This is to a group of believers. We struggle getting so immersed in the world that we actually have to cast off the works of darkness. I mean, you know, I just started going in a Bible study in 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians, that city was wicked. Corinth was. Rome was as well. They had throw-up pits where they could eat. And they could then say, oh, I'll be right back. Why do I love to do that to the kids? No. And they would puke what they just ate so they could go back in and gorge themselves again. I've told you this before. In order to get drunk, natural fermentation only is about 6 to 10%. It wasn't until distillation that they were able to do these ridiculous levels of alcohol. That was only in, I think it was the 15th century. When the Bible talks about drunkenness, the Bible's not talking about what we have today. 6 to 10%, you know, and the average is 6%. And guess what the average today of the beer is? About 6%. Here's how they would get drunk. They would drink the alcohol that had that natural fermentation because they didn't have distillation. And alcohol absorbs into your bloodstream faster than the water does. And they would throw up. They'd come in and they would drink again. And they would have a higher blood level alcohol content. So they'd get more drunk. But we're no different today. What the Lord says is cast off the works of darkness. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, just four books to the right, four books to the right. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5. It tells us a little bit about the works of darkness here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. So I want you to understand this. This is our world. If we aren't conscious of it, we will be filthy. We will be saturated by the works of darkness. I'm just telling you, is why I'm not a guy about rules. I just know this. The more I let the world's media impact me, the more I watch the world's media, I'm not smart enough to know how it's impacting me. I will tell you, I stopped watching the news about 10 months ago. I'm doing fine. Don't need to pray for me. I'm doing okay. I'm doing better off. I'm a naturally negative guy. If something's wrong, oh, I can see it right away. The news was just eating me like a cancer. And I said, I can't have any more of this. I'm tired of the negativity. I just need to focus on Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, the more you are saturated with the world's media, you understand why the devil loves cell phones, because he now... What he had before, right? I've just watched the devil. He had music 24/7. The world's music is pumping everywhere you go. You go to the grocery store, you got the world's music. You go to the gym, you got the world's music. You go anywhere, you got the world's music. Right? So that wasn't good enough, so he dominated you that. Now he's got your phone, and he's told you, you got to understand this latest hilarious video. You know the Bible talks about, we'll see that here, you know, so many of our young people and old people, we're just looking for the next funny, right? That's what we're looking for. The Bible says, you're a fool. We'll see that in Ephesians 5. See, casting off the works of darkness, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Deals with sexual sins, but he says, but fornication and all uncleanness, another form of sexual impurity, or covetousness, the desire, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4, Ephesians 5, 4. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I will tell you, do you see that? It says neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. That's what we're doing. The last most hilarious video. I'm not saying there's something wrong with the hilarious video, but we waste more time looking for a hilarious video, do we not? And we don't know our Bibles. If I said right now, I'm going to randomly pick 7 people to tell me the 66 books of the Bible, a lot of you would have heart attacks. Just if you knew the 66 books of the Bible doesn't mean you're a great Christian, but most of you in this room, you don't even know the 66 books of the Bible. How dare you? But you probably know The Office better than you know the Bible. I know tons of Christians that know sitcoms better than they know the Bible. I didn't say every sitcom's wrong. I'm just telling you, do you have time for sitcoms? And you don't even know the Bible? Wake up! That's what God's saying. Wake up! But you're bored. The Office is better than the Bible. Right? Or whatever it is that you like to watch. Whatever it is you like to waste your life on. Right? Tons of times I walk up to a house. I'm not saying it's wrong to have the Reds on, but I could waste too much time with the Reds. I like the Reds. I think they might do okay this year. Why do I know that? Because I like the Reds. I got to be careful. I can get sucked in wasting my time with the Reds, and they frustrate me. Right? I mean, they do. Stupid game last night. I'm not even going to talk about it. And I get upset. And the Lord rebuked me. He said, what are you watching this for? He said, you have a message to prepare for. I said, I thought there might be an illustration here in this game. I didn't tell him that. I'm just kidding, but it is, we waste our time with so many silly things, right? The works of darkness. It's just, life isn't about like hee, ha, ha, right? But that's what life is. He says, but how about rather give thanks? Funny, but let's rather give thanks. Look at verse 5. For this ye know that no whoremonger, again, sexual impurity, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I want you to know this. I was just recently sent a video. This guy, a young man, was incredibly articulate. He's a homosexual, and he's trying to justify his homosexuality with the Bible. It's the most articulate discussion I've ever heard biblically, but it's foolishness. Okay? I'm not a homosexual hater. I want to see them come to know Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, I have a Bible study with any homosexual you know. If they want to be absolute jerks, I don't have Bible studies with jerks. But I have a Bible study with a homosexual in a heartbeat. I'm not going to address their homosexuality. I'm going to address the gospel. I'm going to address their need for Jesus Christ. And I believe the gospel can save them and change them. And so I expect us to see all kinds of people be saved and all kinds of people rejoice in Christ. I love that, right? But I want to tell you this, you're going to hear foolish things. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know how long it is before Jesus will come again. But I'm telling you, it may not. I may be way off, and it may be sooner. We are always going to be loving to every sinner, no matter what their struggle. As long as they're not trying to cram it down our throat, we won't try to cram their sin down their throat. We're going to teach them about the gospel and teach them about our great Savior. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come by being haters. But I'll tell you this, I reject, and it's foolishness, for people to justify sin that's clear in the Bible. This young man said, well, God didn't understand how that in the 21st century the same genders would have such a commitment to one another. He didn't understand that. Beep, 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 beep. You don't understand God if you don't think he didn't understand something. You don't understand the scriptures if you don't understand they're eternal. And it wasn't like he'd be like, I wish I'd have known. I'd have added Ephesians 7. No, he wouldn't have. He gave us exactly the Bible that has eternally existed. You understand this? The Bible existed before he created the heaven and the earth. It's eternal. That's mind-blowing. The Bible says that. But we need to be loving. We need to be kind. But we need to reject foolishness. And it's going to happen. I promise you, I'm not preaching hate. I do not want us to be a hate church in any way, shape, or form. I want us to love sinners and hate the sin. I want us to be clear about that, but we're going to see it's going to accelerate. And so we just need to reject that. Now look at this, verse 7. Be ye not partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, verse 8. but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. These cultures in Rome, these cultures in Corinth, they were cultures of wickedness. We are in a culture of rebellion, a culture of wickedness. We must cast off the works of darkness. Not because we're better than people, because Christ is worthy of our honor. And here's what happens. When we are saturated, when we are impacted by sin, it will destroy us. I told somebody today, or just recently, about a man. I'm not going to tell the story. Maybe some might know what I'm talking about. So second point I want to talk about. Put on the armor of light. Look back at Romans chapter 13. It's the first time you see me have discretion about a story, isn't it? I'm trying to come up with a bunch of stories about Ellen because she asked me to begin to tell stories about her on my messages. So, you know, Allie, Mallory, you let me know. I'm looking for some stories there from Ellen. So thank you for letting me know about that, Ellen. I'm just kidding. I'll only mention you for the next 27 messages in a row. I had two sisters I grew up with. The worst thing you could do is say, "Pastor, please don't do this." All it means is I'm like, oh, you're in essence asking me to do that. So you blew it. Too late. Too bad. So sad. Now, here's what it says in Romans chapter 13. It says this: the night is far spent, verse 12. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Here's the principle of God's word. He says put off, so you cast off the works of darkness and you better bring something in to replace it. Understand this? The world understands that. You want to quit smoking? I always knew somebody that, you know, I've told you this before. When I grew up, you know, more people were quitting smoking because fewer people smoke today, but I always knew this, man. I mean, they have their pockets like this with, like, you know, peppermints. You know, it's like, hey, you want a peppermint? You know, it's like, did you used to smoke? What made you know that? You know, I mean, it's got peppermints all the time, right? And so as a kid, I'm like, I loved it. I love ex-smokers. Got a peppermint? And, you know, so it was because here's what they knew. You stop this, I'll just replace it with something else. And I'll tell you what's better, peppermint or cancer, right? And so they knew this. I put off something, I got to replace it. Now, it'd be great if they, you know, found something else, but I'll tell you what, peppermint's better than cancer. And so the world understands that. The world says, man, when you end this, you better replace it with something that will fill that slot. You know, and you better understand that. The Bible says, cast off the works of darkness, but put on the armor of light. I want you to quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to spend a ton of time, but I want us just to quickly, I'm going to do this in way too fast fashion. I want us to look at the armor. Now, while you're turning there, I want you to understand this. This passage doesn't highlight what the battle's about. Every passage doesn't have to cover every single thing. I want to ask you this. When we cast off the works of darkness, again, I'm speaking to believers, why would we put armor on? It's going to be a fight, right? What is the battle? It's for souls. It's the gospel. Look, I want you to correct me, because if you don't correct me, you're going to hear it a whole bunch. I think God saved us. I think he established churches. I think he wants to send missionaries. I think he plants churches. I think he wants churches to plant churches. I think he wants churches to send missionaries so that people would be saved. Am I right or wrong? Okay? That's the battle. Why do we cast off the works of darkness? Because if we are saturated with the works of darkness, it will eliminate our effectiveness and we'll get caught up into things. He says, put on the armor of light so that you can fight the battle, and the battle is the Lord's. So let's just quickly go through the armor. Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to see this. He says, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's going to fight you if you are in this battle. Now, this is good news, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not our ultimate enemy. It's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle is spiritual. Wherefore, says verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you didn't get that, stand therefore. So I think standing is, it's not a sitting activity. You follow me? It's an active, stand, get engaged. There's no armor for the backside of you. We are facing the enemy, we're moving forward, we are offensive, we're not just defensive, though some of the armor is helping us defend. He says, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, again, I will tell you, I've preached this, so I'm just going to quickly, I don't have bullet points for this. There's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Truth. I really believe that when it talks about truth, it's going to be distinguished between the Word of God, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's later. Again, the Bible emphasizes this. It's kind of, God has wisdom, and I just don't fully understand this. The Bible says this, be a person of truth. Have your loins girt about with truth. You need to be a person of integrity. You need to be a person of character. I believe that's what that deals with. Because when it says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, I don't think truth is the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. I think he says have your loins girt about with truth. Be a person of integrity. Be a person of honesty. Be a person that people may disagree with you, but they'll say, you know what? That person is a person you can trust. God puts a high premium on that. So he says this, have your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, we ought to do what is right. We ought to do what is right, and it will protect us, right? And so, breastplate of righteousness, do what's right. Look at verse 15. He says this, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember this, the gospel is the gospel of peace. It reconciles us. It makes us at peace with God. The only way to be at peace with God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what the Bible says. Everywhere your feet go, the gospel should go. Where you go, the gospel goes. I don't think you can go anywhere without your feet. Right? So the Bible says, where you go, take the gospel with you. Be a person of integrity. Be a person that will do right. Have the breastplate of righteousness. And take the gospel of peace with you everywhere. And then I love this. It says this, above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith. So here's the important thing. Most of the time in life, it's not going to be go the way you want it to. How many of you have said, I mean, maybe, I don't even know. Life has been good, I will tell you this. So I'm not asking whether life's been good. God's been faithful. People don't like this. I mean, so you know, we're reaching out into this Hispanic trailer park, right? I call it the Hispanic trailer park, right? I mean, because it's mostly Hispanic people. And I love the questions. People go, well, what's the plan? I said, well, I'm picking up kids tomorrow. Picking up kids tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Picking up kids tomorrow. And then if I'm alive Tuesday, I'm picking them up Tuesday. And if I'm alive Wednesday, I'm picking them up Wednesday. Thursday, same thing. Friday, same thing. And then I'm going to preach, and then Juan's going to butcher it. No, I'm just, then Juan's going to translate into Spanish. And we're going to see how this week goes. And you know what? God loves these kids. And you know what? He loves them more than I do. I have no idea what we're going to do. I've had some texts. I love the texts. They're encouraging. No bad text. You know, suggestions. I said, that's a good suggestion. You know, why don't, you know, and I, those are good. Those are good. You know, I just don't know. And here's what we do. Above all, have the shield of faith. Life isn't going to go like you think. God is good. God is holy. Life isn't going to go the way you think. I have plans. You have plans, David? It's okay to have plans. Probably ain't going to happen. But you know what? You just trust in the Lord and have that shield of faith. Because David, I'll tell you this, what will destroy us, you know this, is if we get too dependent on the plans. I just want to be focused on Jesus Christ, and I want to have faith that he knows better than I do. And I'm telling you what, some of the things he does, I'm like, why in the world would you do that? I want to be respectful to him. Always want to be respectful. I've told the Lord this, I disagree. Have you ever said that to the Lord? How many of you said, I disagree? Okay, I mean, look, I'm not telling him, I didn't say you're a jerk or anything. I said, Lord, I disagree with this. I have no idea. This doesn't make any sense at all. I have no idea. What? Why would you do this? And I'm telling this because I'm not, I'm just saying, it would be really great if you just would like to kind of bring me in to help me understand. It doesn't make sense at all. Above all, have the shield of faith. You want to get involved in the Lord's work? Life's going to be hard. You going to get mad at God? God's never worthy of being angry with. This world is an absolute mess. But above all, have the shield of faith. He's worthy of it. He's worth it. And I'm telling you this, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. It does. I love the song. But it is true. If you doubt God, you're going to have a tough time being a Christian. Because life isn't going to go that way. He says this. Now let's look quickly. I told you I wasn't going to park. I parked too long. He says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And he says, and take the helmet of salvation. He says, take the helmet of salvation. And you know, I'm not going to preach, but take the helmet of salvation. You need to be secure in your salvation. You need to make sure that you don't doubt your salvation. That I'm telling you this, if you think you can lose your salvation, you're gonna think, oh, all about me. If I think at any given minute I could do something and lose my salvation, who's my focus going to be on? Myself. Because I love me more than you. And you love you more than me. But the Bible says, put on the helmet of salvation and be secure in Christ. And he said, in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says, in praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication with all saints. So I want you to see this. This is the armor of light to go into battle. So let me just quickly review. Truth, be a person of integrity. Do what's right, righteousness. Go with the gospel of peace. Above all, have faith in the Lord. Helmet of salvation, security in Christ. Take the word of God with you. It's the sword of the Spirit, and never go into battle without prayer. Now turn back to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'll get with it. Romans chapter 13. He says this. Look at this. You can't get away from this honesty thing. Verse 13 says this. He says, walk honestly. Now he's going to define this. You would think somebody cheated and wrote this last night, because these next three things are the exact three things the world focuses on today. He says, walk honestly. Let me tell you, he's going to tell you what dishonest walking is. He says, walk honestly as in the day. Not. So he's going to tell you what not walking honestly is. Not in rioting and drunkenness. You know what we would call rioting today? Partying. Is that not one of the top three things the world would say? It's time for a party. It's time, and you can't have a good time without getting drunk, or you need to have alcohol. You know, my own son. I probably shouldn't tell that story. I'm not going to tell the story. I love my son. I love my son. And I'm trying to work on that. He's not watching the message, but if you are, let me know. I saved one for you. And he says, not in rioting and drunkenness. Here, that's the first thing. You want to walk honestly? It's not in partying and drunkenness. Secondly, not in chambering and wantonness. Chambering. Wantonness is just excessive sin. Chambering. You know what chambering is? Shacking up. Chamber. You get a chamber. It's just sexual promiscuity. It's unbridled sexual promiscuity. That's what the world teaches. It's ridiculous. Chambering. Who am I going to be with next week? And the world has you always looking for something better. You know what the Bible says? Love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Be ravished with her always. God wants you to be ravished with your wife. Not somebody else's. But here's what the world says. Partying and drunkenness and sexual promiscuity. Is this not the 21st century? Now look at the third thing. He says, not in strife or envying. So, here's what, I mean, is this, I just love the Bible. The Bible is like this. The world wants you to get worked up. So I don't watch the news. I'm sure there's a new variant that came out this afternoon. Do you know what it is? I don't know. There's another one coming. And you know, I love this. I saw this meme where they had the plexiglass with the cashier. And it says, I feel safe. The cashier is touching all of my food and then putting in the bag, but praise the Lord for this plexiglass. I think we're morons at times. I'm just telling you this. You know, the world just wants to get you worked up. And the world is scared. They have no confidence. The world is fearful. We saw that just a few weeks ago. Are these the three things of the world? I mean, am I wrong? Partying and drunkenness, so you don't really have to think about the things you're afraid of. Sexual promiscuity. And then just strife and envying. Is that not the world? And so what he says is, he says, walk honestly. Don't get sucked up into that. Don't get sucked up into that. I'm telling you this. We get sucked into that. I get sucked up into anxiety and worry. And so we can't. Then he says this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached this morning. What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm already saved. I believe the put on Jesus Christ is it's the conscious awareness and the alertness that I am a soldier for Christ. Everywhere I go, I'm His ambassador. Everyone I see, whether they know I'm a Christian or not, God knows I'm a Christian. And He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and be ready always to give an answer for me. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's every morning. I mean, I'll use a tie, but you know, it's like this. Whatever you put on that morning, I want you to look in the mirror. And for some of us, we'd be better off without a mirror. But don't look at yourself. Say this, I need to put on Christ. I'm a simple guy. I still do it today. I put my clothes out the night before. You know why? I don't want to think. I set up my life this way. If I don't have to think, I won't think, so I put it in automatic mode. You all know that, because when I tell you, I say, text me, remind me, text me. Right, because I'll forget, because you know what? I haven't practiced remembering. I had people that would remind me all my life, and so now I'm at this point where I don't have any reminders for me. So you guys are reminders. Text me. You know, and that's the way I am. So, because I don't want to think. So, you know what I need to do? I don't do this, but Carl is like the marble, isn't it? Carl has this marble, and we were given marbles when we went down to Georgia, and it's marbles of the world. And if my life changes with this, I'm going to get you all marbles too. So the whole concept, and I haven't gotten the concept yet, is just every morning that I put this marble in my pocket, and it's the marble of the world. And I can't speak for ladies, but I don't usually like things in my pocket, right? So I have this marble, and it's like, what is this? Oh! It's the globe. And it'll remind me to pray for world missions. When I've had that in my pocket the 4 or 5 days that I have, I've tried to pray for a different country every time I touch that. I've run out of countries that I know. So now I have this spreadsheet at home. So I'm learning new countries. I probably don't even know how to pronounce them. I'm probably just butchering the names of them, right? But you know what it is, Carl? I need that same reminder, don't I? Wouldn't it be good as if every time we touch that globe, not only pray for world missions, but it's like this, put on Christ. Am I consciously putting on Christ? Am I exalting Christ? Am I alert? I'm about the Father's business. Jesus was always alert. Jesus was always on the job. Jesus never took time off. Jesus said this, hey, I am about the Father's business. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, he closes with this. He says, and make no provision for the flesh. So what this means, it's just simple truth. He says, to fulfill the lust thereof. If you struggle with alcohol, then just stay away from places that have alcohol. That's kind of difficult, isn't it? The world has made that extremely difficult. So I guess that means that you can go to McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. I mean, you know, I used to go to Blue Ass Chili, right? Now Blue Ass Chili has a big banner. We now serve alcohol. And I'm like, I need to find a new restaurant. But make no provision for the flesh. So if you struggle with alcohol, stay away from it. Right? Just don't make provision for the flesh. Whatever it is, right? Have filters on your phone. You struggle with looking at the wrong things, then have filters on your phone so that you don't want to do what's wrong. So you might be feeling strong and go, I don't need a filter, Pastor. Okay. But there's going to be times you might. Is it worth $11 a month, $12 a month for you to make no provision for the flesh? You know, it's don't put yourself in positions that you will compromise or that you will sin, make no provision for the flesh. Now, I do want to say this. Don't put your confidence in the fences. This is important. The Bible says make no provision for the flesh. I spent much of my life putting confidence in making no provision for the flesh. You know, where it's like, okay, A new wall. I'm building a new wall here. And then, being the kind of person I was, I'd be like, I need to make sure this wall is good. Can I get around the wall? Oh, I got around the wall. I need a new wall. I've spent a lot of my life building walls. What I need to do is I need to spend my life pursuing Christ, submitting to Christ. Romans 6 is the passage I would encourage you to study, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't put up fences. You need to have boundaries. You need to have things that when you're not thinking right, that it's very difficult for you to do wrong. You following me? Don't put your confidence in the fence. There should be fences. Are you following me? Because you got to put your confidence in Christ, but he says, hey, don't make any provision for the flesh. I'll remind you this and I'm done. Remember what we started the message off with? This is how you can be ready for the return of Christ. Because it does matter. Oh, Christian, it does matter for all of eternity. I'm telling you this. I would have your attention. We would pack out this place. There would be people outside. They'd want the windows open if I said, come tonight. I'm going to tell you how to get a 50% annual return on your investment. And everybody, I had credibility, and everybody said, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. Would we have any seats available? Everybody'd be here. Because we love our money. Oh, man, I could always use a little bit more money, could you? How many of you returned the government checks they sent to you in 2020? What happens if they send you more? I wish I had some kids. You guys are just raking it in that have kids, right? I'm like, man, why don't we go retroactive? I had these kids too, and they were expensive. But here's my point. I preach tonight a return that just won't last 30, 40, 50, 60 years. It's eternal. You want to enjoy eternal rewards. Then you got to cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. You need to be about the Father's business. We are in a fight for the glory of God. Walk honestly. Remember those three things? Not in partying and drunkenness. Sexual promiscuity. And not just anxiety and worry. Put on Christ. Be conscious. I'm his ambassador. I'm his representative. Everything I do, think, go, do is for his honor and glory. And then you know what? Never trust your flesh. There's no good thing in your flesh. Your flesh will always let you down. Your flesh will never want to read the Bible. Your flesh will never want to witness. Your flesh will never want to come to church. You can never trust your flesh, but make no provision for it. That is how you can be ready for the return of Christ, for his honor and his glory. You see, final thing, it's a little bit more than this. Here's what I've heard from Christians as well. Well, I guess you'll just have a few more crowns to cast at Jesus' feet. And so they're just acting like it's like, I just won't have too many crowns to be in big a deal. No, I'm telling you this. I need to live for him because it'll honor him. And maybe the reward will be this. It'll be honoring to him for all of eternity. Won't that be good? It's all about Christ. Will we live for him? He will reward you for your service. I tell you this final thing. If you're not a Christian, none of this matters. You face one judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Oh, my friend, repent and believe. Christ will save you. He does the changing. And there's nothing like living for Jesus. Your life will be harder, but it'll be better. Let's pray. Father, you're good.